Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and I'm very happy to be doing the show today with Sandra Sneed. And Sandra is an old friend of mine, and she is very connected to the other realms and to the higher levels of consciousness that we are bringing into the planet, uplifting it and raising our vibration. Welcome, Sandra.
Hi, Alan. I'm excited to be here again. Thank you.
Yes. Well, I think we were talking before the show about, I did some homework. I actually saw the new Star Wars movie, which I can't say I really liked, you know?
Is that right? Really?
No, I thought it was way too much blowing up things. And I mean, there were a couple of good moments, but I don't know. One reviewer said, when it wasn't putting me to sleep, it was keeping me awake. So,
well, you know, I think that, you know, the reason that I contacted you and felt like I really had something to say about Star Wars is that they brought in a new character, and the new character is Snoke. And
Snoke, the young girl?
No, the giant etheric being that
that was kind of creepy.
Yes, and the reason I wanted to connect with you about this is because it just happens to coincide with the information that Source is bringing to me about the Anunnaki. And I did not really know about these beings prior to this Source information that was coming through me. And maybe we should just let your listeners know what I do. I'm a Source communicator, and I do soul readings and Source talks. And
what do you mean? Can you define the Source, though?
So Source is the infinite intelligence that comes from the nature of all being. Mm-hmm. I call it God because that just allows me to have a relationship with it. But it's not necessarily everybody's God. It is the Force in Star Wars. It is the collective of all universal lines of existence. So so it's hard to compare it to the God that we know in religion. But it is, for me, my God, and we all have this God within.
Yes. The God within is what you're connecting with, but it's also the God that's connected to all other things.
All existence, yeah.
All exists, but we're all connected to that Source, aren't we?
Well, we are, but we aren't conscious of it. Not everyone is conscious of that connection, and it's not until you're conscious of that connection that you can really use it on any on any level that's beneficial.
Right. All right. So you're connecting with that. So are you channeling that Source?
That's what people call it, but I don't call it channeling. Channeling is when you are literally working with some entity, and this entity is using your auric field to communicate with you or through you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I am not channeling because God is in every cell of the universe. Mm-hmm. So I'm allowing. That's what I call it, is allowing.
So what are you getting now from Source? What kind of...
So the Source, all this past year, I've stepped out onto my path more and more, and I've done Source talks. I've traveled around doing Source talks. And the being I call God will come up with a title of a talk, and then I show up and allow. And... recently, after, you know, a number of Source talks, God has started to talk about things that are of a multidimensional level. Mm-hmm. And in that multidimensional level, there are beings that humans need to be aware of. They are well known in the UFO culture, but there needs to be some mainstream conversation about it because these are beings that are also associated with the golden age, and every golden age is not really a good thing for humans. It represents...
I thought the golden age was the thing we're all looking forward to.
Well, it's a catch-22. In one sense, there is a great consciousness awakening, but at the same time, the reason that consciousness is awakening is because we're wiping ourselves out and we're getting this close to our own self. Pull up the word. Yes. Yes, self-destruction. So this for God is a very difficult time because God has to insist on the messengers getting out there and really delivering messages so that people wake up and either stop wiping themselves out or adapt to the way that the earth is going to be in the next two generations, which is...
Didn't God also create those negative forces as well? Isn't it? Because it's all part of creation.
These are not negative forces, but they are really more like the programming is occurring unconsciously. And yes, there is a purpose for wiping out existence in order for evolution to take its next step. But God would have to start all over again with consciousness on the planet in three-dimensional form if humans wipe themselves out. Totally.
We're not here to wipe ourselves out.
No.
We're here to uplift ourselves, right?
Yes, we're here to bring consciousness to three dimensions.
Right. Okay, I agree with that. Yes. So what are you getting then? What's happening?
So in a recent source talk during a Q&A, so I'll do source talks, and then on the second half of these is a Q&A with the audience, and it's live streamed, so people from online and people present in the room and in the location will have questions. And one of the questions was about what is the Anunnaki, and God started to deliver a story about these ancient beings who are in separation from God, who have through periods of time in human history actually created relationships with dictators to
take power. I
take over power.
There's probably been some, let's call them negative ET forces that have been working through people like Hitler, right?
Right. And the Egyptians, the pharaohs.
Yeah, because they, I guess, get energy from power, right?
Yes. Yes, and fear. Energy
and fear, from fear, right. Okay.
It's a living, breathing essence that starts to get created in that fear that keeps them alive.
Okay.
And it's actually a very complex system that I'm sure we can't get into totally in this.
Well, a little bit, time. Because I want to understand why anybody would do that. You know, what God says about that, or what your connection to the God says.
Let's go directly to source, if it's okay.
Sure, I'd love that. Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
Are you going to tap into source right now?
Yes, absolutely. So,
can you just describe how you actually do that?
It's kind of evolved. It began as the ability to scribe. Mm-hmm. So it started coming through my hand, and the first message that came to me while I was an atheist was unemployed. It is my assertion you are employed by me. Okay. And when I read that, it sparked a year of solitude, and I took dictation and filled up 10 spiral notebooks, taking dictation from God, which was a whole reprogramming for me. And then over time, I trained that vibration to move up my arm and shoulder into my throat and vocal cords. So I began to practice in front of the mirror a Q&A with this source being, and over time began to speed up the connection so that it could actually be a dialogue. And I started doing soul readings with people that were individual dialogues with God.
So people can call you and have a reading.
Yes, and their own God within will speak through my God within.
Okay, so how do you get to that place now? How do you get to there?
I have a mnemonic device, and I say God says, and that is when my mind unites or aligns with the God mind. So when someone asks a question, in order to go from my brain to God mind, I just say, God says. Mm-hmm. That's my device.
All right. And that just bypasses the mind and gets you to the direct source.
Correct.
Okay. So what are we going to ask now?
Well, focus? I think you asked a very good question. You know, what is the information that's coming now? And it's essentially asking why now? Why is this important information for us to know on a mainstream level?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's go into that. All right. I need to raise my own vibration for a moment.
Sure.
All right. So God says, the reason that we created this opportunity, Alan, was because there is a sensory being within you that knows things that you are not cognizant of. And as we start talking about this stuff, it's going to turn on some of those levers that were designed in you to be this kind of communicator. So it's not just the Anunnaki we want to talk about. We want to talk about why you are one of the individuals we contacted in order to get this information out.
Well,
if you're ready
you
for
much.
That, we'd like to make that public information if it's okay.
Yeah, well, okay. Sure. It's good for
all right.
me and my program.
Yes.
And
so
the listening, of course, yes.
Right. So what people need to know about you is that you are an onboarder. So an onboarder is an individual soul that has chosen to take a role on the earthly plane regarding messages that need to be on board. So the board is the wave of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And the onboard then is awakening those who are to participate in that awakening of consciousness. You are an onboarder means you are awakening people from a mainstream perspective. Even though you haven't fully hit a mainstream yet, that's where you're headed.
Okay.
And as you head toward that mainstream, the people that you start to alight when they hear the things that you bring to your program, then they start to wonder, well, who am I in this? What is my role in this?
Yes, I want to take some notes as you're talking, but that's good. Yes, yes.
So the reason that the Anunnaki story is important to you as an onboarder is that these are beings who enslave humans. And they have enslaved massive quantities of humans. They have eliminated massive quantities of humans that could cause awakenings. So the Jews were a source of resource, meaning they are an ancient people that were dropped onto the planet and never expected to survive.
Mm-hmm.
They survived because they kept their breeding pure.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept their source connection pure because of that. It wasn't diluted.
Mm-hmm.
So they hold ancient secrets within their own genetic code about the nature of the God that is the source of infinite being that recalls freedom for all beings in an equanimous level. Equality doesn't just mean that everybody is equal in the eyes of the law. It means every equal nature means a unified field for God to exist in a consciousness for life and love in unity.
Mm-hmm.
Life, love, unity. One last thing.
Mm-hmm.
Life, love, unity is the equanimity of the freedom of all life, which is precious under a democracy, and why it's absolutely critical for you to unite with the freedom message. All right, go ahead.
No, I'm just curious why God would create anything less than that, like, or opposed to that, or that would threaten that.
The things that threaten that are things that have a separation condition. The Anunnaki separated from God eons ago. And so all they have left of who they are is essentially a remnant or a ghost of the earlier version of this species. Mm-hmm. They are a ghost of their own past.
Mm-hmm. Some people also call them the Archons. You know about the Archons?
We are not familiar with it in Sandra's brain, so are unable to give full information about it.
All right. Well, anyway, the Archons are related to those people that have separated from Source, those beings, and have gotten into the minds of people to make them forget their connection to Source and have them work for gold or digging gold instead of spirit. Instead of going for the reason they've come, which is to connect with the inner spirit.
Correct. The Archons are a little bit different than the Anunnaki. They are a separated being, and they do feed off of the essence of human, but they also feed off of the essence of other life forms, mm-hmm. not just humans. And the way that they feed off of it is essentially the same way if you smelled a rose, and that rose became you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same way that they feed off of humans. Now, Anunnaki, however, feed into the life force, which is far more dangerous and enslaving.
So was Hitler connected to the Anunnaki?
Yes. How they connected to Hitler is that his group of power structure, these individuals were very much into mindfulness and the occult. They were also doing illicit drugs for hallucination and intensity uplift.
Mm-hmm.
So these conditions put them into a way of thinking about their vulnerability to the Anunnaki. They did not purposely connect to the Anunnaki. They purposely connected through telepathic means to any life force that was willing to communicate with them. Little did they know that what they were building in a military might is exactly what the Anunnaki want. And so they became puppets, essentially, to
the Nazis
telepathic
became
order.
Puppets of the Anunnaki.
Yes.
But there was their intention. I mean, in a way, they were closer to knowing it because they were carrying out those dark acts, you know, consciously they were doing it. They weren't being controlled unconsciously. They were, I mean, maybe on some level, but they were consciously acting out of that dark side.
They were being hypnotized. That hypnosis became a masses hypnosis. Mm-hmm. And they trained Hitler how to create an entire mass of like-mindedness, unified mindedness. So they trained Hitler on the nature of what today you call branding, and the nature of this action. When they rose an arm,
mm-hmm.
first the raising of the arm was hypnotizing the military. Then it hypnotized everyone else who was watching the movements of the military.
Okay.
It was an act of hypnosis.
So, okay, so that happened, and eventually that collapsed because I guess enough people of consciousness came together, enough forces, because we are getting help from the from the unseen realms.
Absolutely. Anything that threatens freedom immediately causes an entire army of mass spirit, it's called mass spirit, to move into action. And as that happens, as that moves into action, the individuals who are programmed to know God, either through a scribing condition or a hearing, an auditory condition, they go into action, they go into their mission, and then they wake up others. The condition of the United States being founded on God is exactly this.
What do you mean it was founded on God?
Well, people think that the United States origins, the originators, were religious zealots.
You mean some pilgrims.
People think that. Sorry,
what was it? Which people? The founding fathers or the...
Right, the founding fathers.
Okay. Well,
so, yeah. And there were founding mothers, by the way, but they've been kind of wiped out of history. These founders of freedom were led by a scribe.
Which scribe?
Thomas Paine.
Oh, Thomas Paine.
Was a scribe.
Oh, a scribe of God, you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that, yes.
And so they were led into freedom, and they won on the side of freedom because of how powerful it was within the nature of God, destroying anything that could bind the early Americans, bind them into an enslavement, either financial enslavement or political enslavement.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, right. So where are we now? What's happening right now in this moment on the planet? What kind of state are we in? Where are we going? And what can we do?
Well, humans are on the precipice of their own destruction.
More now than ever?
More now than ever.
Really? I thought it was getting better, everything.
Well,
I see it as getting better.
There are individuals whose job it is to wake up others who are doing their job, which is better. That is good. That is better. But what isn't better are all of the corporate greed conditions that bind the way of fear.
But that's getting exposed, at least. I mean, people are talking about that.
Yes.
They haven't talked about before.
Yes. And there is in the consciousness both man's destruction and man's ultimate being saved. We don't know which of those consciousnesses will become real and realized. So
what will make the difference?
The thing that will make a difference is everybody waking up who were meant to help the human race evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that is not a mass group of people. It's a percentage. And it's a percentage that's maybe 1.5% of humans that need to wake up to change and alter the course of humanity.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm one of those people. And you,
yeah, absolutely you are.
And you're one of those people too, right? And
yes, the being that is Sandra in this human form, mm-hmm, has absolutely woken up and is walking her path now. She has surrendered in a way that so few people are capable of surrendering.
Really? In what way has she surrendered that's different than other people surrender?
She is in contact with us all day long. And that has taken years for her to acquire this ability.
Okay, so what can we do now to wake other people up? What's the plan here?
Well, the plan is you're already doing it.
Okay, but what else can I do? What else can other people do? Listening, it's not me or you, but what about the people listening? What do they need to do?
Well, that's for them to ask.
Well,
what do I need to do?
I'm sort of asking for them because I'm the one talking to you.
And we can only give you then a general blanket statement on that.
Okay.
Because each individual that is designed to wake up has a significant training of their mind that they have to take. Every single human being is unique.
It's a training of their mind. It's a training of consciousness.
Yes.
A way of, I see it, and why I call my show New Realities is because it's a way of stepping outside the box that has trapped us. Good. And we are, you know, seeing a bigger picture, but only because our consciousness is expanding.
God says, yes. They're seeing a bigger picture. Because consciousness is expanding, but the consciousness that is collapsing is what's creating fear. And as that fear is generated, then flow cannot flow. So when people go into states of financial fear, for instance, they cannot flow financial abundance. cannot be in fear and abundance simultaneously.
Right.
So to surrender means you are letting go of your fear and allowing the force to work through you. This doesn't mean that it shows up at your doorstep just by meditating. What it means is you meditate the fear out of you, and then you follow opportunity, and you follow it wherever it leads you.
So you meditate. Is that what you're saying? And then we see how we can tap into a bigger picture, greater unknown. With that.
Some people, meditation is required. Other people, they have to go into states of full sensory deprivation.
Okay. And the idea behind all this, what I'm getting, is to shift the way we think about reality, shift our consciousness.
It is to step onto your path, because the soul has incarnated for a reason. It has come to this planet to take its consciousness in three dimensions for a reason. Some people have very lofty reasons. Some people have something that's just a little bit closer to home. They're just to create a family that is encased in the love of God and the love of their own way, so that they can later on in a repeating pattern create humans who stay on farms and grow organic food. So that's a simpler identity. But there are other souls that are here to be leaders, be political figures, become great corporate leaders, and bring source into the corporate spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's happening. And I see that happening in a much, much bigger way, on a much wider scale. So I have a lot of hope that things are changing for the good. Especially right now, if we reference the movie that we talked about, the Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens, we are actually getting keys and clues to the bigger picture of stuff that's really happening. I think that's what you meant by that new character. This is a source revealing the confrontation with the dark side, the negative, or whatever you want to call it, right? Is that right. It? We're getting a key in to the deeper levels of reality.
Right. Dimensions. Multidimensionality.
Right. And you notice in that movie, it doesn't really end. There's, definitely leaves room for some sequels to happen there. And so what is happening there? So there's that character. Who is that big alien being? What is that?
They named the character Snoke, but this is a perfect way to imagine the Anunnaki. They are an etheric dimension, on an etheric dimension. They are huge compared to humans. Humans are like little rodents in size compared to them. They are highly advanced technologically. They can manipulate minds easily, just the way that Darth Vader worked to choke someone just in using the Force. Mm-hmm. The Force is accessed through the mind, the greater mind. Not the brain, not the thinking thoughts,
right. But
the greater mind.
Right.
And the more individuals open their mind, the more they will notice there are other beings within that realm that you have to learn how to protect yourself from.
Wait, there's other beings in the realms of people's own mind.
Mindfulness.
That are communicating with us telepathically or
they
trying
can,
to influence.
They can influence and communicate.
How do we protect ourselves? In a sense, how do we know our own mind?
Great question. How do we know our own mind? Because the more you expand the mind, the more you notice that the brain, the body, is contained within the mind. Mm-hmm. It is a construct of the mind. Mm-hmm. And the mind has constructed this physical being for a reason. How do you pursue your individual reason without making yourself vulnerable to other beings who are in that mindfulness plane? And the way that you do it is by identifying who source is and what source is within you. Mm-hmm. It is a love and a peace and a calm and a joy. It is a holding. It right. holds you.
Right. Well, I was going to say that too, that we know our own voice by the feeling of peace that we have. We have that peace. Yes.
That's right. Yes. That's right.
Yes. Yes.
Because it's only in that peace that you can acquire the notion of abundance, acquire the notion of immortality. Most people's fear comes from their concept of death. They are afraid to die.
Right.
But when you know there is no death, and you know that through and through, and you are held by the being that keeps you safe, and you know you are held by that being, then there's nothing about death that could scare you. So you can walk into your true calling, your true nature, even though you're afraid of crucifixion, which is common to messengers, to have a fear of crucifixion.
Of crucifixion in particular?
Well, no, not being put up on a cross, but any form of
execution.
Right.
Right. That's not pleasant. No.
No. You have to step through that fear. Mm-hmm. It's a courage that is required. And one of the best ways of being encouraged is knowing there's no such thing as death.
Right. But it is good to be incarnated, though. It's a blessing. It's a gift.
If you use it as a gift.
But I think even when people cross over, they're still manipulated by the forces of their mind. Just so the body doesn't yes. mean anything. It's like your book you wrote, What Do You Do When You're Dead, right? Well, people are still conditioned by forces.
Yes.
They're still not free. Actually, we're more free here in some senses because we have the
yes.
will to change.
Yes. We agree. The way that the construct of three dimensions is set up is that there is a past and a future and a present, and you can perceive all those at one time, meaning I know what I did yesterday, I know what I'm doing right now, and I know what I'm doing tomorrow, or I can plan what I'm doing tomorrow. Once you become an etheric being that has no sense of time and space, you can't change your mind very easily.
Mm.
You have to change your beingness.
Wait. So, can you say that again? I didn't follow that whole thing. So say that part again.
Once you become in the etheric field,
yes.
meaning the body has passed, and there is either going to spirit, following spirit into the realm of God, or direct to another incarnation, or for some people, they get stuck in that in-between. They don't know where they are and what they're doing. They're confused. They expected, you know, when death came, they expected a nothingness and there's a somethingness. Okay. So it's in that confusion where they get stuck that they become vulnerable to those forces that could feed on them indeed.
Feed on them. So it's not about the body then, because the forces are still feeding on the minds or the consciousnesses. Let's call it consciousness, right?
We would call it the essence of life that they are feeding on.
Is there any way to free those people from that?
Yes.
And
there are many people in your audience whose job it is to do exactly that.
How? How do they do it? I mean, I'm sure they know, but tell me, us, listen.
Well, they don't all know, as a matter of fact. So the way that that is done is by identifying your true nature as a sensor. You can sense beingness, and this beingness has organization. That organization represents a former physical body and now is a soul without a body, but is a person.
Mm-hmm.
And when they feel or sense that energy organization, they need to know that that being doesn't belong there. They need to be moved on into the light. Now, the nature of the light has to be programmed into the mind of a medium that can see and feel that. And they practice the nature of their own light to protect themselves.
Yeah. Okay. And the mediums can then make help them lift up to the light. Yes.
Yes. Help them come to a state of forgiveness, because there's something that they couldn't forgive in another or in themselves that's trapped them and made them feel somewhat unworthy of anything higher than this lower physical dimension.
Well, okay, let's come back to planet Earth for a second. And what is happening now? Is there a great polarity happening, you're saying? There are lots of people waking up. I mean, I know a lot of people who are suddenly realizing their old habits, their old ways of thinking aren't working, and they're shedding those old belief systems and coming into a real time of joy and upliftment and more peace.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a really good thing that's going on. What do you see happening?
Well, it's not that we don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
It's that we see there's much more to do.
Like what?
There's so much more to do.
Well, but please.
It's hard to just say in a general statement.
Okay.
So let's focus on one individual as a demonstration.
Okay.
So Sandra gave a reading today to a woman who discovered that a past life experience has caused her eye to go blind. And in that blindness, she's unable to see a portion of her life, a whole portion of her life that goes on without her notice.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's related to a time when she had to disguise herself from death in order to help individuals pass.
Mm-hmm.
In this lifetime, she was given the role of an energy healer. But that energy healer needed to represent itself in the form of art for her to recognize what she is in essence.
Okay.
And in that essence of recognition of what she is as an energy healer and seeing it in art, her art will one day, if she follows her path, completely in states of surrender. If she follows her path, her art will represent the nature of Source in such a way that people will go, oh,
okay.
That's it. And that's just one person out of millions and millions.
Will she heal then too? Will that help her heal her condition as well?
Yes. Yes, her eye will slowly come in and online,
mm-hmm.
because she'll be recognizing the thing about herself that is important to the world.
So everyone needs to then recognize the thing about themselves, whatever it is, that they're here to do.
Yes, and to get as specific as possible.
But that's hard for some people to know. I mean, some people are, you know, run by survival or what they think they should do or have to do or what their family wants them to do. So how do they overcome that? I mean, I guess they just do it.
Which is another reason why people like Sandra have to wake up, people who can deliver these kinds of messages from Source.
Mm-hmm.
So the waves that need to occur in order for everything to come on board that is necessary to prepare for the next golden age has a ripple effect beginning with the first enlightened ones. And then they enlighten a generation, and then those who awoken in that generation enlighten the next generation. This is an ongoing thing that has been happening forever, but there are periods of eruption of it.
Well, there's a couple of questions. What's the benefit of enlightenment? I mean, I know there are, but and doesn't the Anunnaki want that same enlightenment? Why are they attached to the unenlightened state? Why are beings attached to the unenlightened state?
It's a good question.
Okay.
We'll start with that one. the reason that they are disconnected is because there are systems of evolution that when a unity is not achieved in a being, when a unity is not achieved in a being, the nature of that being evolves to disunity.
Okay.
And that disunity then becomes a feeding essence. It's a feeding, a consuming.
Right.
So in nature, for instance, nature will consume all that has no purpose. Mm-hmm. So one way of protecting yourself from the Anunnaki is to find your purpose and live it. But if you live without purpose and you're just blindly doing your job every day and you're doing what you're told in order to get a paycheck, and that paycheck is the whole of your life, and you ignore your children or you ignore your wife or you ignore your husband or you do things that deny your own love of yourself, you disconnect from the ways of God and disconnect from the ways of love.
Right, but I'm saying there are people who have been living that way, and now they're realizing that doesn't work, and they're reconnecting. So it doesn't always lead to a disintegration. It's a lesson of awakening towards awakening. You know the light if you've traveled through the dark. You know, traveling through the dark to have an experience of something greater.
Alan, you have great hope, and it's important for you to maintain this hope.
Okay, sure.
But we want you to know that there are billions of people on this planet who are forging ahead and wiping it out.
Who are those people, and why are they doing that?
Because they are blind to what they are doing.
But they only they're disconnected.
They are stuck in the need to survive.
I mean like corporations that pollute the land for money.
And people who work in these corporations who are stuck in these little cubicles, and they have cubicle minds and cubicle hearts, and the way that they are performing their duties is out of a sense of duty rather than a sense of purpose.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If they click in to the sense of purpose, they'll look at what they do every day going, what the hell am I doing? Why am I doing this? But they won't until they are without a job.
But isn't this an evolution of soul? Don't a lot of people go through those, let's call them lifetimes, where they have separation and then they come back around? It's like a cycle. So
right, but the difference is, Alan, yes, that what's happening to the planet is the forgetting of God, the forgetting of what God is.
What is
and,
God?
And religion is just as culpable as science is.
What is God? What forgetting of God? What do you mean by God?
God is the being within you that makes you free.
Oh, well, yeah, I think everyone wants that. That's why they're making all that money, because they want to be free. They don't realize that that's a really indirect route.
Not only is it indirect, it is destructive.
Well, yes, and it's not fun. But I agree. So, okay, so we're here to help wake people up to who they are.
Yes. And knowing that if they don't wake up, they could be subject to beings that are far larger and far more mindfully intelligent. And you can be manipulated to do things that you will consciously, once you wake up, go, how and why did I do that? In mass. That's what happened to the Jews under Nazi Germany.
Mm-hmm.
People who were perfectly good, loving citizens wound up doing things they wouldn't otherwise do under the manipulation and guise of some kind of duty.
Mm-hmm. Right, because they were trapped by a system, just like a lot of people are trapped by a system now.
Yes.
So the idea is to change the system, really.
Well,
I mean, that would help.
The idea is to fall away from the system.
The systems keep them survival or in survival or surviving.
It's an illusion.
Yes, it's an illusion. I agree. Yes.
There's no reason to have corporations. Each individual could have their own business supplying to a larger corporation what is necessary. There's no reason for employees, quote unquote.
Well, there are reasons for corporations. I mean, look, they built these computers that we're talking on, and they...
Why can't individuals working together in mass, in a purpose, in a sense of purpose, do the same thing?
Oh, they can, and I'm sure they will, but I'm saying corporations have served a purpose, a centralized force. Now, we can decentralize, but I don't think this technology could have happened, and this level of technology, without corporations. I'm not saying...
Oh, we would be much further along without
corporations.
We'd be much further along. Because the way that corporations work is through a hierarchy,
yeah,
under an autocracy.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with the systems, but I think...
But the reason that human hasn't evolved further by now and faster by now is because of that system of autocracies.
Right. So you're saying we can create the same technologies without the autocracy?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm all for that. I never liked, corporations myself, but it seems like... So what's your plan here?
My plan is to bring Sandra into a greater and greater tenacity for this is Sandra saying, this part's really always hard for me. God says, bringing Sandra into a deeper tenacity for governing the spotlight upon her, so that she becomes more and more well-known, and these messages get out to more and more people. That is our plan with Sandra. As far as our plan within each and every other human being, that depends on their ability to surrender. As they surrender to the peace within and learn to hear the voice of God and learn to know that that voice of God is only for them and them only and no one else, there's no reason for them to dictate to others how to be with God. They are to be with God in the way that they are to be with God, not telling everyone else to behave a certain way because that feels better to them.
Mm-hmm.
As people wake up to their own God within, we will put them right where they need to be to live their life in purpose.
So the golden age is coming, as you called it, right?
Yes, yes.
It just depends when it's going to show up, how long it takes for people to wake up.
It's more about how long it takes for humans to become desperate in their own survival, where nature starts to cause a backlash.
Nature, you're saying?
Yes, yes.
So how do the Anunnaki feel about nature causing a backlash? Aren't they there to control nature? Don't they want to control that?
The Anunnaki are like an alien species of plant. You put it in an area where it doesn't understand its own niche, it's going to consume everything around it in order to proliferate itself. That's the exact same way that the Anunnaki behave. And they don't care whether or not this planet is fully viable for the humans, just viable enough to keep them reoccurring, reproducing.
And why? What's their ultimate goal then? Why do they even want to do that?
To feed on the essence that the human being creates in their physical form. It's an essence that they feed on. Mm-hmm. It's a life force.
So they feed on that because...
They can't survive any other way.
They can't survive without the extreme emotions, you're saying, the extreme dramas.
Or what we would say is it's in the extreme that the physical body exerts the life force. So in that exertion of life force, there's abundance of food for the Anunnaki.
And what do the Anunnaki want besides just food, though?
To survive. But they can't survive. Here's the thing. When they separated from God, they separated from the life force that is everlasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in that separation, then they have to feed on something to survive.
But they have a choice. They don't. They could go back. They don't have to feel separate.
It's too late. Their nature has cut off all ties and evolved in that way.
So they cannot ever return to source.
No.
I'm not sure I believe that.
I know.
But why couldn't they? I mean, you say they cut off the old ties, but yet they're still feeding on something.
They're feeding on the life force of other beings.
Right. And if the other beings cut them out, then what? Then they wouldn't.
Then they don't survive.
And if they don't survive, what happens to their soul essence?
That's a good question, because that's really what they are. They are the soul essence of an ancient civilization that lived a long, 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 long time ago.
Okay.
So these are souls that are the remnants, and in that they cannot survive by a reproductive manner. They cannot survive through a life force, and they have to feed on others. When that system of feeding them is gone, they disappear into the hair. This is Andre saying this is going to be a spirit word, so I just have to sound it out. This is something I'm not familiar with, so God's just got to give me a mash of words together. They disappear into the hero presence. Hero presence, not hero like as in a superhero, but some other kind of hero? Right. Hero. H-I-R-O? Right.
H-I-E-R-O, right?
H-I-E-R-O? Yes. What's that?
Hiero. That's like hieroglyphics. It's like the divine writing. It's the divine. Hiero is like the divine connection. Hierogamos is the sacred marriage. Hiero, it's the sacred. It's the sacred.
Okay. So they disappear into the sacred presence? Yes, that's a way of saying it. Yes. So they kind of dissolve? No, they're still in existence, but they are entombed. They become entombed in the wave of being that is sacred and God. It's an entombing.
And don't they want it? Don't they want to do this? Why are they resisting that?
They don't know anything about this.
Well, I'm sure they're listening.
No more than you could hear dogs talking to one another.
What do you mean by that?
The Anunnaki cannot understand human interaction. All they understand is mind and how to manipulate form from mind. But they don't understand the communication system between individual humans.
Okay. They don't understand the emotional exchange.
No, the verbal exchange.
Oh, the words.
They know the emotional exchange very well.
Oh, you're saying they only... Oh, they feed on the emotion, but they don't have the consciousness for language, you're saying.
For human interaction language.
Okay. Okay. They don't have that capacity.
Right. Because that occurs in the brain.
So we can talk about them even when they're in front of us. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
It's a joke. No, but I'm kidding.
No, it's true.
But where are they? Where do they show up? Where are they? Are they etheric or are they physical?
Yeah, they're in another dimension. And where they show up on the planet is wherever there is a causation. And that causation right now is within ISIS, within the Middle East.
Right. It's because they're supplying the hatred and the anger and the violent and all
fear.
Fear, right.
Fear.
That fear is a big food for them.
Yes.
And humans have a lot of it.
Yes.
So when we transcend our fear, we don't feed those energies.
Right. Right. When you find peace within, that's safety.
Can you talk to the Anunnaki that... have already transcended? There are some that have already transcended.
These transcended beings are so old and ancient, they've transcended into creator being status.
Mm-hmm.
So they aren't even a relevant source of information anymore.
Right. So there's no way any... So what the only way they're going to disappear, this force, is that people stop living in fear. Is that
right?
Is that the only way we're going to stop feeding that other side?
Yeah.
Let's get beyond the fear.
Yeah. But think how hard that is for humans.
Yeah, I'm sure it's hard. Fear and anger and violence.
Rage.
Rage
is
all,
a big
that's
one.
That's all food for those beings.
Yes.
And don't those beings like actually come in and manipulate people like they did with Hitler?
Right. They don't manipulate individuals unless individuals can give them masses. So they are more likely to enter the world of political figures. And it's in a sense, and what has happened in the past in human history is that these kings, leaders, military functions have sold their soul to the devil. That's exactly the same way of thinking with regard to how the Anunnaki communicate with those seeking power.
So they sold their soul because they wanted to be king or powerful.
Exactly.
Their soul being what? What do you mean they sold their soul? I'm not sure what you mean, what that meant.
Well, that. When your soul becomes manipulated, it also starts to feed on its own megalomania.
Okay.
That becomes its source of joy and excitement, is the megalomania that comes from power. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It is why a free country has chosen its 4-year reign on purpose, to avoid corruption within the individual in high power.
All right. So, okay. So I'm getting a bigger picture. So what's the plan now?
So what question we think you would do well to ask is, what stage are humans in, and then what's the next stage?
All right. That is a good question. Thank you.
So the stage that humans are in right now is in waking up to the idea there's more to this world than I thought.
Mm-hmm. People are in that stage, yes.
Yes. The next stage is there's something in this world that is more than I thought. That means there's something I need to do on this planet. I need to do on this planet. So in mass, people are going to wake up to the need to be in purpose.
Okay. They need to wake up to their divine purpose.
Exactly. Exactly. But or to any purpose, to have purpose, to have meaning in life.
How do they do that? I think I've asked that before. How, if they've been so conditioned and brainwashed, and I mean, let's say they're able to let go of all that. How do people wake up to the, how do they know?
Well, there's a number of ways that it's happened. One is economic collapse causes people to lose their jobs when they lose the thing that they have been working so hard for. And then they suddenly realize if it can be knocked out overnight, what's the meaning of it? Mm-hmm. It's meaningless. This is an illusion. So that's one way. Or we put them in a car accident. Or we have cancer grow. Whatever it is that's going to force them into a state of courage, they have to be courageous to let go of the programming that held them into an illusion. We put them into a state that they would never want for themselves, but then that state takes them to a whole new way of thinking of themselves. We don't want to have to get to the 2x4. We don't want to have to get to that way, but we will do it in a second if we feel that one of our people, one of our messengers, is not living up to their potential.
But isn't everyone here to live to their potential, not just the messengers? Everybody is.
Well, we're just talking about the messengers with regard to the stage that humans are in right now. The messengers have to be the first to wake up. They have to get on path.
Right, right. And so that's your job, Sandra's, to wake people up.
Yes.
So you're
our job with Sandra is to awaken the masters.
Mm-hmm. And how many masters need to be awake for the golden age to tap in?
Thousands.
And how many are awake now?
Well, some are half awake, well, but they're still in a state of confusion about how do I make this work in a world that I have to make a living? They think they have to make a living at what they are in their purpose, but that's not necessarily so.
Oh, well, talk about that a little bit, okay? Because that's the big confusion.
Yes, it is. So when people walk in purpose, it may not make them any money at all. In fact, it may cost them money. But purpose gives so much fulfillment. It makes the thing they do to make a living so much more meaningful. Mm. And they have so much more compassion for their coworkers. They have so much more sense of service to their job.
So it's not what the job is, it's how they do the job.
When it comes to making a living, absolutely.
So it's how they do, how present, how compassionate, how loving are they to their coworkers.
Right.
So it's not about quitting your job necessarily.
No.
It's about doing
it. For some it is, but
yeah, for some.
Most of them, no.
Doing it in a different way.
It's about bringing their gift, their spiritual gift, into their field. So if you're a psychic and a scientist, bring your psychic abilities into science. If you're an artist and a medium, generate the ability to call forth entities that could demonstrate enlightenment in your art. If you're a mathematician and you start hearing God, God's going to teach you the equations that are necessary to inspire other mathematicians mm-hmm. to see God in math.
Right. Okay, I get it. So that's a big piece then, I think.
Yes.
I think you can really help people with that. Okay, now anything else about the Star Wars movie that we should know as a sort of a warning, right?
Yeah. Well, what we would say is that it's a model for the way political manifestations can become subject to a higher order life form and then become puppet to it.
Mm. Explain that a little more.
So a higher order life form is like how humans are compared to squirrels. Squirrels are a lower order life form, not right. So complex.
Right.
So the Anunnaki are a higher life form, order of life form to humans. Mm-hmm. Humans are like rodents to
they're,
the Anunnaki.
They're higher, but they're not more spiritually evolved.
Right. They're not high vibration. They're just higher order.
They're more complex.
More complex.
But not smarter. Well, maybe smarter, right?
In some ways, way smarter than humans.
But not more evolved spiritually.
They have no spirit.
Okay. They have no spirit, but they do have soul. They are a soul. But when you say they don't have spirit, what is the difference?
So spirit is the nature of you that is the God within you.
And they don't have that?
No.
They don't have a God within them?
No.
And what's their soul?
Their soul is the evolved remnant of what they once were as a race of beings.
But that's an immortal essence, though, isn't it?
Yes, in a sense. If you have something to feed on, it can make you immortal.
But you just talked about those people who went around up to the next level, those beings, those Anunnaki that... So they must have did that with some kind of spirit vehicle, right?
Right. Right. These were existing beings, mm-hmm. giants, that were fully formed in an etheric manner. They were not three-dimensional. They were multidimensional. Mm-hmm. But they, just like humans, have an essence of them that passes. It has a time limit of existence. So it passes. And the spirited ones, the ones who were connected to spirit, have long gone. But the remnants of what once was, mm-hmm. this is a race of beings that have been wiped out. And
so would you say these beings are more like thought forms than actually beings?
They're more like ghosts.
Which is like things, they're not even real in a sense, would you say?
Oh, they're very real. Okay. They're just not dense. They're not three-dimensional.
But there's an eternal nature to them. That's what I'm trying to get at here.
They can live forever if they feed, just like the mythological creature of a vampire.
Okay, and if they don't feed, I think we went through this, what happens?
Then they become absorbed or entombed into the sacred presence, into the sacred presence.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, nothing is wrong with it.
But why isn't that? That seems like...
They don't want to do that. They don't want to disappear. Okay. They want to exist. They want to live.
Okay. And the only way they can live is to feed off the raw emotions of humans. Is that the only way?
Yes.
No, I think
animals... And it's not just raw emotion.
I think animals...
It's life force.
I think the animal sacrifices also feed those gods, those beings. That's why animal sacrifice was performed, to appease the gods, to feed mm-hmm. the gods. I mm-hmm. think there's the fear of those animals that happened in animal sacrifices.
Well, we think you're not seeing what we're saying with regard to what they're feeding on. They are feeding on the life force of humans. That life force comes from this center, the heart center.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that life force can be ramped up in states of fear.
Okay.
So they also feed on children because that life force is so new and fresh.
How do they feed on children?
Oh, it's not a pretty thing to talk about.
Well, you might as well say it. But...
So children... who are so precious in their innocence,
mm-hmm.
create a supple, delicious, and this is how the Anunnaki would describe it, a delicious manner of consumption. They create this delicious manner of
because
consumption.
Because they're innocent. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes.
Innocence.
They haven't hardened in any sense.
So they, okay, and what about that, though?
So when children are the target of an Anunnaki being, usually it's an individual. It's not a mass thing. It's usually one individual Anunnaki humanoid being that may be separated from a group, wandering about, and becomes targeted onto a household with children.
Mm-hmm.
Then these children suffer from nightmares, from terrors that can...
But how could we protect the children from that?
Child abuse is usually the beginning of the call to the one that hears it.
Mm-hmm.
So they hear the call of the abuser and the abused, and they follow it.
But how do we protect the children?
You protect them from abuse. You, Alan, and people who are listening cannot in mass protect all the children.
Right.
You can only protect what you can protect, what's in front of you.
We protect them by nurturing them. Is that it?
Well, by nurturing the abusers so they don't abuse.
Nurturing the abusers, I see. therapy and understanding. But aren't they abusing because of the Anunnaki influence?
No.
Well, they're not.
It's usually some program from childhood that's playing over and over again.
They're not. It's that's not connected to the Anunnaki?
No. They just create the human abuser that abuses their children. They create the food.
Oh, they create the food for the Anunnaki.
Right.
But they're not manipulated by the Anunnaki to create that?
No, abuse? The Anunnaki aren't smart enough to, or really the word might be small enough. They can't contain their mind into an individual's life to do something like that.
But there are entities, I think, that
create. Who can. Those, yes.
That's something else, though.
Yes. And what, those are ghosts of humans.
Those are, or even thought forms, possibly.
Or thought forms, indeed.
Or negative beings. So there's those. So there's a multiple aspects of beings that we have to be aware of, really.
Yes.
So what's your advice then?
The more mindfulness that you create, the more awareness of the unseen. And in that awareness of the unseen, learning how to protect yourself within the crystalline form, which means this is how the nature of the Christ works. And this is a whole nother topic, but the nature of the Christ is a crystalline formation of the nature of understanding the self-made way. The self is made through the sense of rationing the higher light to become part of the body. Rationing the higher light to become part of the body. Now, this is true enlightenment. This isn't just a waking up to ideas. True enlightenment is when you achieve a Christed manner.
Mm-hmm.
And that Christed light protects you from anything that is unseen.
Mm-hmm. So we develop the Christed light by waking up that individual sense of our connection to Source.
Yes, and then it goes one step beyond into the nature of manifestation. To manifest whatever it is you desire means concentrating your effort within the Christ and calling it forth. That becomes the law of attraction, attracting to the life force of the Christed way. And that law of attraction then builds a system of organization, organizing the material body to behave in a way that draws to it what it desires. Mm-hmm. So it can draw to it the desire for protection.
Okay.
The desire for protection is drawing to it its own protection. Yes, that's a better way of saying it.
So we need to teach that to children then.
I mean, certainly that would be a great thing to do, but good luck with that. They don't even like children learning yoga.
No, I mean, not teach it that way, but as a formalized way, but teaching the sense of self to children, teaching the self-worth to children.
Yes.
That will develop that other level of sensing.
Yes.
Awareness.
Yes, to a degree, but then the teenage years come along and all those hormones whack all that away. It just becomes whacked out because of the hormonal structure that starts to change the vibration of the human. So they have to reclaim that in later years.
Right. And I mean, if there's been a seed planted, they will. They will.
Yes.
So, okay. Now, anything else we need to cover here? Because I think, you know, there was more I think you wanted to say about this time of transformation.
Yes. The reality is that time is quickly fading into night with regard to where humans are in their need to save themselves. So that means we believe two to three generations left before humans wipe themselves out if they stay on this path where corporations are the rule of the day. They rule over the money. They rule over the structure of time. They rule over how much people work and when they work. They rule over the clock. Corporations rule over all of the things that are necessary for human evolution.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as that's the way it is, then the progression of that means in two to three generations, humans are going to be fighting for their own survival and having to adapt.
Well, they're already fighting for their own survival and having to adapt. So that's one road. Okay.
We mean in the way of earth-shattering changes.
All
because
right.
The earth starts to move the minute there are no more forests.
Right.
The minute there are no more forests, the earth moves into action and says, ah, it's time for the next wave of evolution, and starts moving. And there are earthquakes and volcanoes, great storms, human systems getting wiped out.
Well, that's what happened
year after
Mars,
year after year.
Something like that happened on Mars. I mean,
yes.
But, okay, that's one path. What's the other path?
The path of consciousness.
Yes. Take a drink. Yes.
So the path of consciousness has so many integral moments that are necessary, and they're generational. So one generation is teaching one facet of consciousness.
And each of these... Can you be more specific when you say one facet of consciousness?
Yes. So in this generation, people are learning how to communicate and network on a worldwide system.
Okay.
That then can incorporate freedom into areas of the world that are not free.
Okay.
So that's a step that for this generation in order to free the unfreed in other parts of the world.
Okay.
Now, along with that, then, though, becomes territorial wars. Because people start losing their allegiance to their leaders. Okay. And then wars start to occur.
Okay.
Because they want territory.
Okay.
So the next generation, then, from the indoctrination of technology and that this world is adaptable in a worldwide manner, the next phase of that is, how do we feed our growing population in a way that doesn't bury us in our own waste?
Yeah, I think with free energy, that's not going to be a problem.
Free energy is nowhere near coming into alignment in this generation.
Why not?
Because there are...
It obviously exists because there's so much energy all around
us. There's gaps in understanding. There are gaps in understanding. You may have one, two, three geniuses that get it. But unless you are able to develop something that everybody wants, there's no way for it to be proliferated.
But that is happening. That is happening. There are people developing home batteries to generate their electrical needs.
That's not free energy.
No, but there's ways of storing energy. There's wind power. There's solar power. There's zero-point energy.
And that's totally different from free energy. We were just saying free energy is nowhere near in this generation coming to fruition.
I don't know. I think it could be. I think it could be.
You're very hopeful. You're very hopeful.
I just think it's possible. I mean, nothing's been decided for sure. Okay, so that's one level.
Here's what we know that you may not know.
Okay.
We know what's stopping it.
What is stopping it?
Gaps of understanding.
And how can we fill in those gaps?
Through generations. People have to die off and new generations come in.
I mean, gaps of limitation, really. There's limited beliefs that are in the way.
Well, it's really more of a gap of understanding because people who grew up without telephones can't conceive of what do you mean you can talk to somebody on the other side of the world.
Right.
They don't get it, you know, so the gap,
that's a gap of understanding, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we need to develop towards that, you're saying.
Well, humans always do. They always do. And each new generation accepts what the past generation thought was impossible.
Right, right. Okay, so let's keep going. What else do we need then to move into this next realm on the...
of consciousness.
Yes.
So humans need to recognize that what they do today has a consequence for the next generation.
Yes.
Both good and evil.
Okay.
So the joy of a fading generation mm-hmm. has to turn on to say, we have a legacy to leave behind. We have a third act. We've got to wake up in our third act. So the baby boomers, in other words, mm-hmm. need to feel a sense of meaning in their lives, that they aren't just waiting to die. Mm-hmm. They can leave a legacy for the next generation.
The legacy will be of what?
Many things. They could leave a legacy of
the arts.
Storming the White House? What? Wait, God just said storming the White House.
Yeah,
leaving a legacy of storming the White House with information about those who are destroying precious resources through development.
Right. I definitely think,
they are destroying resources and putting up financial institutions. Mm-hmm. And we mean that figuratively.
But that, yeah, that's
as much happened. As literally.
That is happening. That's happened. It's already happened. Yeah.
It's a constant happening.
All right. So there's these two paths now. We can go down the one of self-destruction, or we can go down the one of the golden age. That's where we're at, right?
Well, the golden age is in the period of self-destruction.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
How's that?
Well, if you think of a golden sun, and the golden sun is in the desert a terrible thing. Mm-hmm. That's how you can imagine what a golden age is. Once you wipe out resources, mm-hmm. then the fight for life allows humans to awaken to their greatest potential. That's the golden part of
it. So you're saying we're going to need to go down that path? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you are going down that path.
But we don't have to go down the path of destruction.
No, don't.
Will we still get to the golden age if we don't go down that path?
No, there won't be a need for one.
Because we'll be evolving into it then.
Right. It won't need to be some age. It'll be a progression of human evolution.
So either way, we get to a better place, you're saying?
Well, okay.
You can do it easy or you can do it hard.
All right, right.
Okay. I mean, I think that's what you're saying, right?
Yes, yes. And you can look at periods of history where there was great eruption of spiritual knowledge. Mm-hmm. And those remnants are in the theological libraries.
Yeah.
The remnants of that.
I think we're in another age of that knowledge.
Yes, we are. Humans are.
Well, here we are.
And another spike of knowing from infinite intelligence.
Right. So, I mean, it's good to know the dark, but stay the light. That's what the Tao Te Ching says.
Oh, yes.
So
know the light through and through, and to see the dark from within the light.
Right. So it's great that you're telling us the possibilities, but we're here to wake up and lead the life that is inspiring us to live.
To be your best,
right.
Your most, your greatest way. It is in the greatest way that you become the lighted way. And in the lighted way, you receive the light information that God gives to give you each step step by step, step by step, step by step. All you need is the courage to take each step, and we will meet that step with the ground underneath. Stay grounded, stay focused, stay surrendered, stay humble, stay knowing that this being within you that is teaching you who you are is going to teach you the best of you, the most of you, the greatest way of you. And every greatest way leads to a next greatest way, meaning you will inspire each greater way around you.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Sandra.
Well, this is Sandra now. I'm taking the microphone back from God. God, thank you so much for that. And I just want to say, Alan, you know, thank you for the questions that you asked, because, you know, when I'm in my God self, it's difficult for me to come up with the human questions, except for when I'm scribing.
Mm-hmm.
But in this verbal transliteration, I'm in the God self, and I need someone like you who's curious to ask those questions.
How does it feel for you to be in that God self?
It's beautiful.
You feel what? Light and...
I feel bigger than I am. I feel bigger than Sandra. Mm-hmm. And sometimes God will say things, though, and it's like, oh my gosh, the audacity. People must be thinking, what audacity she would have to say something like that.
And what? Give me an example.
Oh.
Like, what's the one that outrages?
Oh, God has told people off before.
Like, what do you mean? Like, they said that you're like, well.
So if I can think of one.
I mean, just yelled at them and told them to wake up, huh?
Well, really more like, if they're being small, and so they're making somebody else small.
Right, right, right.
And when they're doing that to me, God will just like, how dare you? You do not know who you are talking to. How dare you speak to our precious being that way?
I
you know,
see.
And it's like, wow, I feel God's ire up in me, you know, and then I have to come back to me and face that person.
Well, it's okay. It's good for you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Sandra. Thanks for spending some time and connecting. Are you there in Texas?
I am in Texas, in Houston, Texas.
Oh, how can people get in touch with you who are listening?
Oh, great. So, you'll go, you know what? And I want to give your listeners a discount too. I'd like to do that. Here's what you do. Okay. You go to, if you want a soul reading, you go to sondrasneed.com, sondrasneed.com, or you can get there from godscribe.com too.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be a pop-up that says knock, knock, and starts talking about soul readings.
Mm-hmm.
And you can set up a schedule an appointment with me. And if you say, I heard you on Alan Steinfeld's show.
New realities.
You can use the returning client discount.
Okay.
Instead of the new client price, which is huge. But it's just a way of me controlling.
What is returning client discount? How much is a reading?
It's $190 for an hour. $95 for a half hour,
mm-hmm,
with the returning client discount. The new client price is $500 an hour.
Really?
$300 a half hour, yes.
That's for a new client?
Yes.
They have to really make sure they want to work with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Because this work is like mountain climbing.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone's vibration is in the low registers, then I have to go, you know, run up and down that mountain, and it's exhausting. And for some people, it can be very dangerous to me.
Right.
So I just, this way I can control who gets involved with me. And if they're listening to your show, they're already ready for higher vibration work.
Thank you. And if they're not listening, I mean, if some other people come in, you do have people that want to make that change, though, right?
Yeah. I'll take that chance with your show.
Thank you.
And if it proves that I'm wrong, which I don't think it will.
No, I don't think so. We only have good people listening.
Right. I'll figure out a way to handle that, but okay. But otherwise, it's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to spend time with you, Alan. I loved seeing you in New York City, and I hope I get to see you again soon.
Are you going
to
be in LA at the Conscious Living Expo? Are you going to that?
The one in San Mateo?
No, the one in LAX.
No, I haven't done that show yet.
It's a good show.
Is it?
Yes, that's a good show.
I've heard it's really big.
It's big, but it's really, yeah, people do well there because it is big. Anyway, let's stay in touch.
Okay.
It was great to see you in New York. Are you coming back at all?
Of course. I really, New York welcomed me with open arms and did some good work there.
Did you find your phone?
Yes.
Oh, you did find your phone.
Yes.
All right, good. I was worried for you. All right, well, thanks, Sandra. SandraSneed.com, Godscribe. Thanks for relaying that information. I think we went deep. Let me know what you think when you hear this back, okay?
All right. Well, it's lovely seeing you. Namaste, my friend.
Blessings, love. Blessings. Thank you for what you're doing, and
likewise.
This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. Thanks for listening. Go to my website, newrealities.com, or my YouTube, youtube.com/newrealities. Thanks for listening.